Well, good morning again. I'm not sure who was doing announcements, but they forgot one more thing. We have Membership Sunday next Sunday. That was one thing I forgot to mention. What Membership Sunday is we invite those that have been coming to Two Rivers, whether it's been a couple Sundays or a couple years, that have gone through Tri-Fi but have not yet made the decision to be a member of a church, and what does it mean to even be a member of a church? That's kind of what this this class is. It'll be next Sunday here from 4 to 6, and you'll be meeting with Dave, the pastor here, and he would love to answer any questions and just help you out with anything like membership related. So we'd love for you guys to come out and check that out. And again, that's 4 to 6 next week. But if you don't have a Bible today and you are looking to have one, we have people that are walking down the aisles that would love to give you one so you are able to follow along with us as we are continuing in 2 John, and we'd love for you to take that home so you're able to have a Bible that you can go through while at home. So just raise your hand and they'd love to give you one. But I know Dave and his family actually were not here this Sunday. They actually dropped their daughters off this weekend at college, which is exciting, but also nerve-wracking and brings a lot of different stresses. And so that's something that I want to encourage us to do is be an encouragement, not only to them, but also to any family that has students that are going into college, as well as the students themselves as they're getting ready to either go off to school or even stay here. It's just a whole different feeling going from high school to college. So I would love for us to just be an encouragement to them. But I know this past weekend, I had a little more restful of a weekend than Dave probably had, but I was able to go up to Virginia Beach and hang out with my parents. I love visiting mom and dad, but I had the privilege of being able to go out and go surfing because the waves were super nice, and I was up at Sandbridge, which is a beach up in Virginia Beach, and the fun part about it is there was an insane amount of jellyfish, right? It's not the fun part, but I know a lot of you guys are like, man, I worry about sharks, and now I got to worry about jellyfish too. But it wasn't the moon jellies. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those things where it's just the clear ones that don't have like the tentacles that'll latch on and sting you. But it was the ones that had like the purple and the red veins, the ones that hurt, like don't feel good at all. And so I'm not sure how many of you guys have ever heard that old wives' tale that talks about jellyfish stings, where if you get stung by a jellyfish, you have to pee on it, right? And so that's one of those things that that I recently learned was a thing, but I guess like a lot of people believe that if you pee on a jellyfish thing, it's going to either numb the pain or I don't really know what it does, but something happens. And so there were a lot of people that were out paddling around, surfing, all that stuff, and the guy that was next to me ended up getting stung. And so he was like right on his calf. He like lifted his leg up. He was looking at it, and he saw it getting more and more red, more and more swollen. And his buddy that was next to him, I don't know why it caught me so off guard, because you hear about old wives' tales, but you've never actually like heard somebody say it like in person. So the dude next to him, his buddy was like, dude, you got to get out of the water. You got to go pee on it. And I like just looked at him because I was like, what? And so no joke. And if you're uncomfortable with this story, just hang on. It gets worse. But this dude, no joke, got out of the water. We were at that point, nobody was surfing. We're all just sitting there watching this guy paddling back to shore, get out, and he did it. And we were all just busting up laughing because it was just the most random thing ever. I'd never seen anybody actually do it. But I think the funniest thing about it is that it did nothing, right? He did that for nothing. It didn't relieve the pain. And the funniest thing is he came back and he said it honestly made it worse. But why, right? Like if there's this saying, this thing that's going around that everybody's like, yeah, of course, this is what you do whenever you get a jellyfish sting, why would it not work? It's because it isn't true. And I'm sure all of you guys have suffered from one degree or another of these old wives' tales, right? Whether you were afraid to swallow your gum, because if you do, it's going to stay in your stomach for 7 years, and it's scary. Maybe you had to sit poolside for 30 minutes because you really wanted that burger, but now you don't want to cramp. So now you're just sitting there watching all the other kids play while you're, you know, learning a lesson in patience. It could be your parents saying that if you sit too close to the TV, it's going to hurt your eyesight. That one's not true. That one actually surprised me. I thought that would be true because I remember my mom telling me all the time, but that one's actually not true. If you have wet hair, don't go outside because you're going to get a cold. That's not true. Only a cold virus can give you a cold, but chocolate causes acne. You can eat all the chocolate you want because that one's not true. And the one that I always got yelled at for was cracking your knuckles gives you arthritis. And again, that one's not true. And these sayings are things that people have lived by for decades, and now they're kind of widely accepted as untrue. And so why is it so easy to believe them and hold them as truth? And for some, it could be the person that told you, you're like, man, my mom would never lie to me. This has got it. Like, this is an old remedy that I know she's known about for centuries. This is amazing. Could be, man, I saw this on Facebook, and obviously it's true. Or the one that I love is when people are just like, it just makes sense, right? Like, carrots enhance eyesight. That makes sense. Like, how could you not believe that, right? But the fact of the matter is when you don't know the truth, it's easier to believe something that isn't. Like, if you knew the only way to not get a cramp is to drink plenty of water, stretch out, do all that stuff, and then if somebody told you that you can't eat before you swim because it's going to cause a cramp, you're going to look at them funny because you know how you get cramps and you know that that's not it, right? So I'm going to try to paint this in a different scenario. How many of you guys have ever been to New York City? A couple people. I went once, left it all in New York, never went back. But I was in high school whenever I went. I took a fashion marketing class. And I had a buddy that had a crush on a girl, and he did not want to take the class alone, so he asked if I could go with him, and I was like, sure. And I'm just that great of a friend. But based on the fashion I have now, you can see I did not pay attention in that class. But it was during spring break, and we all took a field trip to New York for a few days to talk to different designers, meet different people. It was a lot of fun. Like, I definitely enjoyed it. But there is this place in New York called the Black Market. At least I think that's what it's called. It's a street in New York where you can find designer apparel for like 95% off of what they sell it in stores. It's because it's fake. Like, you get fake Gucci bags, Louis Vuitton, fake watches, fake apparel, all that stuff. And so, being in high school, I ended up getting a Rolex because that's what you do when you have $5 in New York. And I was pumped. Like, it looked exactly like it. I was excited for it. I brought it back to my friends, and they're all like, what was your budget for this trip? Like, they didn't know, like, they couldn't tell that it was fake, right? Because the scary thing about counterfeits is how closely it resembles the original, right? And today, that's going to be what we're going through, because Dave touched on and went through last week truth, and what does truth look like? What does truth mean? And this week is all about false teachings and false teachers. And I don't want you to call your mom and yell at her and call her a false teacher because she said not to sit too close to the TV or anything like that. But what I am saying is that we are in danger of losing what the truth is. Because when you think of false teachers, a lot of us, we tend to think of like televangelists, right? Like, you're like, man, I would never listen to anything that Joel Osteen says. That man is crazy. Or it could be, man, like, you know, I'm looking at the news. All they do is just spread misinformation, all that stuff, which is true. But the false teachers that we're talking about today are the ones that are within the church, the ones that distort what the Bible says for their own pleasure or to justify a behavior, to lead others astray. Or maybe it's because they don't want to believe it is true, so they just change it or tweak it, right? Like, they're like, I don't want this to be what the truth is. I'm going to manipulate it to where I think that it's true, and I'm going to spread that to others so that way I can validate my own opinion, right? And the false teachers in the church that say one thing and live a whole nother lifestyle, and that's what John is addressing in these verses that we're going to go through right here, is the false teachers that are in the church. So I hope you guys are ready. We're going to be in verses 7 through 11. I want to read through that and then pray this morning. But verse 7, it starts off, it says, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. And so we're going to be going through that today. And what John means when he talks about these false teachers that have infiltrated or gone through or now in the church sharing this misinformation. But I'm going to pray as we start to jump in. God, I just thank you for today. God, I just thank you for truth. And I just thank you that we have the ability to know what truth is, and we know that you are it. That we have the ability to understand false teachings based on your word and based on just being able to hold each other to just that standard, and that we're able to just love one another this morning, and that we just understand this topic a little bit more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, verse 7, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world, and any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist, right? And so what this verse is referring to is that Gnosticism had infiltrated that early church that John is addressing or that he's talking to. It's this idea, basically, that evil, in a sense, was matter, right? Like flesh was evil, right? And so Jesus could not have been fully God and fully man because Jesus couldn't have been evil. And if flesh is evil, then obviously he couldn't have been man. And it's this whole thing of like just this misinformation or this confusion that was being spread throughout the church of was Jesus man when he came on earth, or was he this divine being, or all these other things, as well as like the whole belief of you have to kind of deny your flesh, which I know for us that sounds familiar, deny your flesh, but then it talks about creating your own divinity, right? So there's similar truths, but it's drastically different in what the message of Gnosticism is saying. And it's this whole fabricated idea that has swept throughout the church, and they took verses from scripture, twisted it to their own belief, and started to share that within the church, and it became rapidly accepted as true or as truth. And for those that didn't know the full truth, or maybe they weren't strong in the truth, it was hard for them to tell the difference between what was false and what was true, right? It was hard for them because they weren't, their hearts weren't into the truth. They were confused with what was actually going on. And that is kind of the danger of false teaching, is when you don't go to God for wisdom, it's hard to identify it and it's hard to understand it. Verses 8 and 9 says, watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead, and run ahead basically in this context is talking about running or leading yourself astray or taking your own path or running away from your faith. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And John in this moment is basically describing someone who is not happy or not fulfilled with the way that things are in their life, right? So they make their own path. They're going their own way. They don't like what God has for them. They're like, I bet I could do this better. And so somebody that's not happy, not fulfilled, and so they come up with a new teaching, or they start to believe that their decisions are better than what God had for them, and they lose that relationship with Christ. It says that they do not have God. And they're the ones that will follow feelings over truth, right? They will believe that their heart tells them over God. They almost make their heart a God that they follow. And they think that their own path makes more freedom when they find that it doesn't, right? Like when there's an issue or something in their life that they, it kind of goes against what God says, then they feel like it's more freeing to make that decision on their own and just go do it, right? When in reality, we're going to find out that it doesn't. And so that's how these false teachers present their path or their idea and kind of inflicting it on your life. And I'm going to have a few examples that I kind of want to go through, but the crazy part is it's enticing, right? Like, let's say you're a very angry person, and they're like, it's okay to be angry. I want you to feel your feelings. If you want to lash out, or if you want to, like, whatever, like, just go do it, right? And so they almost entice you with that belief. And a lot of people, I want to preface this, a lot of people don't know that they're false teachers. It's not like they're intentionally trying to bring somebody down. They're just not speaking the truth, right? They're speaking from their own feelings. And so, you know, let's say you're angry and you want to lash out. Instead of speaking truth into what the Bible says about anger, they kind of say, it's so much easier and it's so much more freeing to just live a life of anger. When in reality, they're going to find out that that freedom comes at a price of just feeling drained, depressed, angry, and all these other emotions. It's not freeing, although it may look like it. Or I might say, like, man, if you want out of that marriage, if you're not happy, just get out, right? Like, if you're not happy in your marriage, God wants you to be happy, right? I know that you said, till death do us part. We've all said that. Those are just words. But what God doesn't know is that he's changed, right? Like, since you've been married, he's changed. So it's completely okay to just get out of it, right? If you have to work for your marriage, then it obviously wasn't meant to be, right? Like, that's what people think. And so they feel like that freedom, and it just becomes less commitment and less effort in your marriage. It might be, hey, if you want to buy something, go buy it, right? If that looks nice, God gave you the blessing of a job and having finances. God gave you that desire for a reason to go buy it. So just go get it, right? Like, you want that new car, you want that expensive necklace, you want whatever, just go get it. And more freedom creates bad habits and greed and selfishness in your heart. It might be, you know what? If you think about it, God talks about sexual immorality, but he doesn't specifically say anything about porn. And if I'm being honest, I'm sure that it's all good, right? Like he would, if it was really important to him, he would have said it. But I don't remember there being a word in there, you know, that would address it. You know, God gave you that desire, like, you know, we're men, we can do it, you know, whatever. And what you think is more freedom, what you think is a path that you've gone down that is giving you the ability to do whatever you want, becomes an addiction. You know, a big one might be, man, I know that you're close with Jesus. That's great. You have that relationship. That is awesome. But you really don't need to be a member of a church, right? Like, you don't need to get connected. Like, didn't Jesus say, like, I am the way, the truth. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Like, all you really need is Jesus. You don't need to get plugged into a church. You don't need to do any of that, right? As long as you have Jesus, you're good. And what you find is that more freedom turns into depriving yourself of godly relationships. And these are the false teachers that John is talking about, the ones that run ahead, that make their own path, and they bring others along with them without even knowing it. They don't speak the truth. And a lot of the false teachers, they're not speaking maliciously. They're not trying to, go against you or anything like that. But in reality, they are, right? Like, they're not getting angry at you or anything like that. They're just like, man, this is more free, when in reality, it's not. Because, man, speaking the truth is hard. Sometimes you have to say things that are true, but you know it's going to upset somebody. You know it's going to offend them. And you might say to yourself, like, I don't want to offend anybody. Like, we're all called to love, right? Like, isn't that what God says? And if God calls us to love, then we shouldn't have to do something that we don't want to do, right? Isn't that what God says? No. It's a false idea. Verse 10 and 11, it says, if anybody comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Basically, what that means is don't entertain them, right? Like, don't entertain their teachings. Don't welcome them. Don't welcome the teaching or the thoughts that they're trying to inflict. Like, he's basically saying, cling to the truth and know what God says. Because when it comes to truth and understanding what truth is, how are we able to define it or understand a teaching or an idea or an action as truth or as true? I don't know if you guys remember the Rolex that I bought, that beautiful $5 I spent. I have no idea where it is, probably in a landfill, but it was worth it. And to someone that doesn't know watches, or somebody that would have no idea of what a Rolex would actually look like, they would look at that and be like, dude, that is awesome. Like, that is so cool. I didn't know you had that kind of money. But to someone who knows watches, or even the dude who designed the Rolex or designed that style, would be able to look at that and immediately know that it's fake, or immediately know that it's false. So how do you know when something's true? You go to the Creator. You go to the one that speaks nothing but truth and gives you his wisdom. Not a false idea that you want to believe, but we need to look back at the Creator for truth. And I feel like for some of us, many of us, we don't read the Bible or go back to the Creator, mainly because we simply don't want to apply it to our life, right? Like, we almost enjoy being naive to it. Like, if I don't know that something's wrong, or if I don't know this understanding, or if I don't have this understanding, then I don't feel as guilty doing it because I don't know that it's wrong, right? Like, you kind of try to play naive, where it's like, if I don't really read Scripture about what it says about how to be a godly man or be a godly wife in a committed relationship and marriage, if I don't read any of that, then I can kind of, you know, do marriage however I want to do it, because I don't really know what's right or what's wrong. And you kind of try to play this naive thing, right? And you might look at the Bible as these rules, or that God is basically just trying to dictate your life. You don't look at it as truth. You look at it as just like this rule book, right? And he's sort of this cosmic security guard that is just trying to prevent you from having fun. Right? Like, where God's just sitting up there chilling, like, hey, you guys need to stop drinking. You guys need to stop sleeping around. You know, if you say one more cuss word, I'm going to come down and, you know, beat you. Whatever. I don't know. And you view God as basically this Karen that lives in space that doesn't want us to have any freedom, right? He just sits up there freaking out over little things. But the Bible says that he gives the law and instruction to lead us to life. Just a quick side note, are there any dog parents out here? Anybody have a dog? Few. So I have a dog. I had him for 2 years. He's a sweet little boy. But my roommate and I, we do not have a backyard that has a fence. So whenever I need to take him out every day, I have to go walk him, put him on a harness, leash, all that stuff, walk him around. I've honestly become a little bit more lazy because what I started doing now is I'll get on like my longboard, my skateboard, and I'll just let him pull me. Because he's pretty young, and I know that he needs to get a lot of energy out. So that's what we'll do every morning is I'll just take him around the loop a couple times. But the reason why I put him on a leash is because if I let him off leash, I know that there's going to be some serious consequences, right? He could run away. He could run to the street. He could eat something that he shouldn't, you know, whatever. But whenever I take him to my parents and they have a backyard that has a fence, basically, you know, a perimeter that is around his life that will prevent him from going to things that he shouldn't or the danger or even death, he was given more freedom, not less. He didn't have to be on a leash. He could wander around the yard. He could chase squirrels and do dog stuff. So a parameter led him to more freedom and not less, because that parameter is keeping him from danger or keeping him from doing something that would, you know, cause harm to him. And as we care about our dogs, we don't yell at them or pull them away from the street to keep them from having fun, or we're trying to be this security guard that doesn't want them to have freedom. We do it because we love them. And we know that that's not where life is. Like, life is not found on the street, right? In order to experience life to the fullest, you need to know the truth. That's the way that God intended. And we can't do whatever we want because the Bible says that our heart is deceitful. If you have somebody in your life that is speaking false truths into you, or you're listening to somebody and you're letting your heart guide, like, I like that sound better than the Bible, and you kind of go for that, that's not where life is found. And it's going to lead us astray and just lead us to more heartache. As we see from those examples, that freedom that you thought you had is just putting you further and further into bondage. And still, so many people view the Bible as this rule book instead of this book that shows where life is found and shows us the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are. And there are people that will try to twist or manipulate scriptures to become more free. They think that that's free. It's like, hey, you know, I want to do this. Let me just try to make it in my head, rationalize that this is something that God could potentially say. But instead, they just find themselves more trapped. And these false teachers are changing the way that we think about God, changing the way that we live as Christians in this world. And in order to break from those false ideas, we need to know the truth, right? We need to wrap ourselves in it. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop pursuing truth. Don't stop pursuing wisdom in who God is. It's basically what this is. It's so easy to fall to false teachings when you don't know the truth, right? Like, it's hard to be able to put those together and know this is the breath of God, this is God's word, and this is what some dude on the internet said, right? It can look the same. And if you're new with us this week, basically last week Dave gave us some homework. And for those that weren't here last week or the week before, it's this thing that we started doing, this homework per se, where through this series, it's just a chance for us to go deeper into our faith outside of these walls, right? Some people need that incentive. They're like, hey, you know, this, I want you to be able to dive into this week. And so this is kind of what this is. Dave challenged us to memorize 2 John verse 6. To read verses 7 through 11, and to think about the connection between truth and love. And I don't know if you guys did it. You don't need to tell me if you did or didn't. But this week, I want to challenge you guys first to identify those false teachings in your life. And so basically what you have put into practice in your life that isn't truth, or what action or thought that you have taken that gives you this sense of freedom, even though deep down you know that it isn't, it's actually just holding you back from the good life, from the free life, which is in truth. You know, kind of that whole analogy of the dog, like, you know, you kind of take these parameters, this fence up, and you're like, look at all these, this free reign that I have, and you wind up getting yourself hurt because you're listening to all these false teachers. It just leads to death. But I want us to think about the way that we interact with God and the way that we interact with others, and different false teachers that are in our lives that lead us astray. Or you may find out that you honestly have been a false teacher. And you're like, man, I've been telling other people this idea that I have about Christianity. I know it's probably not true, but I'd like to believe that it is, right? You might be one without knowing it. Next, I want us to go to the Creator, right? Like, we identify the false teaching in our life, whether it's you or from somebody else, but I don't want us to identify and be like, man, that sucks, and then just kind of keep living life the way that we want. I want us to identify it, and I don't want it to be forgotten. I want us to take that $5 Rolex that we have, and I want us to give it to the Creator. I want us to give it to God, right? Search for what is true, and I want you to cling to it. And that's why, lastly, I want us to memorize 2 John verse 9. And just to read it one more time, it just says, anyone who runs ahead, anyone who astrays from my path for them and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. I feel like that's such an encouragement for us. Where it's like, even though, yeah, I feel like I'm following the path that God has, but I feel like it is not a lot of freedom, and I honestly just feel alone. I feel like this verse is a reminder that you have both the Father and the Son, and that we don't have to forget about that we don't have to say, man, it would just be so much easier if I could just do this by myself, or if I could do this my own way. But when we follow God's path for us, when we follow the truth of what God says, we realize that we're not alone, and that we're actually immensely supported and encouraged. And let's remember that our path is not as straight as God's, or a path is not as freeing as the one that we are given in truth from the Creator. And let's hold this verse and this truth close to our hearts as we leave this building. That's like my encouragement for you guys, is those three. If you need to take a picture, take a picture. But I want us to pray, and then we're going to enter into a time of communion together. But God, I just thank you for this morning. I just thank you for just what your scriptures say. I thank you for just that you make our path straight, that we don't have to worry about where we're going as long as we're pursuing your will, pursuing who you are, and pursuing truth. And we know that you give us wisdom when we need it, that we know that you're not abandoning us, that you're not going to leave us, but that we're just immensely loved by you. And I just pray if there's anybody in here that has those questions where they're like, man, I want to read my Bible, I just don't understand it, I just pray that they ask, that they search for wisdom where they know that they are going to someone who knows God and has his heart and is standing out in love. In Jesus' name, amen.